You're listening to episode 231 of Women Worldwide. What does it take to build a relationship with your customers or your clients today? One that leads to blind loyalty and unbreakable bonds. Relationship management has to take center stage, and I've got a guest who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Whether you are tuning in on iTunes or Google Play, maybe you're watching us now on YouTube. I hope so. Hope you're subscribing to the Deirdre Breckenridge channel. Wherever you are in this world, thank you for showing up. We really appreciate it. And not only that, you're sharing with us how much the stories of our guests are helping you. Through their challenges and the way they deal with things, you are learning. It's helping to fuel your passion and to power up your own voice. And I've said it before, our goal is to change lives one story at a time. So got another story for you today and another special guest. Today's topic is relationship building in business. Now, that's not so easy today to maintain, to build and maintain an unbreakable bond with your clients, consumers, or maybe the members of your association. Well, that's where Lindsay Griffiths comes into the picture. Lindsay is a global relationship management executive, and she's working with one of the largest legal networks in the world, International Lawyers Network. I could say so much about Lindsay, but I think it's better, and it's time for her to share her story with you. Lindsay, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, okay, so I lined you up to share your story. Of course, first question is going to be, how does one choose the path of global relationship management executive? How do you get there, Lindsay? What did you do?
Well, it happened sort of by accident, which I feel like I hear from a lot of people in the legal field. I started out in market research, actually, and about 15 years ago, I was looking to make a change. And the executive director, who's still our executive director today, is my father. Oh. And so, yep. So he was on his own in his role and had nobody else working with him for about a year. And I approached him and I said, I'd really like to work with you. And he said, well, you know, I know you can do the work, but I don't know how the members would feel about having my daughter work for us. So why don't you come to a conference, meet some of them, and then we'll have the board interview you. And we went that route, and they hired me, and I've been with them ever since.
I think that's so awesome that you wanted to work with your dad. That's a beautiful thing. And I'm sure that, you know, besides getting beyond the board and the members' understanding, that he probably really appreciated the fact that his daughter wanted to work with him too.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey. When I was little, he worked in foreign exchange and he worked very long hours and I almost never saw him. So it's been he's retiring at the end of this year. So it's been a great gift for me that the last 15 years, we've gotten to spend so much time together and work together so closely that we've had this opportunity.
I love that. I mean, I'm really close to my dad. I never had the opportunity to work with him, but there's nothing like being able to spend that kind of time with somebody that you love. So that is awesome. Let's talk a little bit about relationships in business, because with a big title like that, you probably have learned quite a bit about relationships. What does it take to maintain a good relationship with your members?
Really, it takes consistency. That's the number one thing that I've found. For us, we have 4 conferences a year, and some of our lawyers like to think that they can just attend 1 or 2 of those and that makes a difference. And it does. And sometimes they think they can be a name in a directory. Fortunately, that doesn't happen very often in our group. But for lawyers, and when they're referring their clients, being able to know, like, and trust each other is hugely important. So they need to have that consistency of their relationships in order to build that knowledge, likability, and trust in those relationships. And so it's not just attending the conferences and getting to know each other. It's building those relationships in between conferences with constant touch points in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I mean, and lawyers, like other professionals, are really busy. What does it take for you to, or, and maybe this is a part of your role, get them to understand that the more they take advantage of the things that are going on and the other professionals that are a part of the organization, the better off? You know, more time invested means more value.
The truth is, everyone is very busy. Anybody you talk to these days says, you know, I'm too busy. So really, it comes down to how are you prioritizing things? And when you do prioritize, that's how important people feel to you. So I think we all understand that you prioritize the things that are important to you. So when you make somebody feel important, they're more willing to create that level of loyalty and give you the business that is going to become important to you. And I've found, and I tell these stories a lot, and I think that is something that resonates with lawyers. You know, it's something that you're doing with this podcast, and is your goal is to tell stories. Lawyers really like to see what others have done and what has worked for them. So I will often point out that the rainmakers, the really successful business developers in law firms, are the ones that are super busy, but are always responsive. They're the ones who are showing up. They're the ones who are doing the business themselves. And even though they're so busy, they're also the most successful. And so that really resonates with people. I found that the ones who are doing the most traveling, the most successful, the most, you know, doing the most business, are still the ones that respond to my emails very quickly. They just somehow manage to prioritize things in a way that others don't.
Right. How many lawyers are actually a part of your network?
We have about 5,000 total.
Wow, that's great. So what are some of the, you know, we talked a little bit about what makes a great relationship, where it's the trust, the consistency, and, you know, the time that you put in is a value you get out. What are some of the ways that maybe relationships go wrong, bonds are broken? What do people have to, you know, whether it's a part of an association or you're building relationships with clients in your business, what should you avoid?
I think the two big ones would be, I mean, and this sort of all falls under the same umbrella, would be lack of responsiveness and lack of communication. Something that I've noticed is anytime anyone is afraid to give somebody bad news, they seem to avoid telling people bad news rather than just biting the bullet and giving them that information. And I found that clients of any kind would much rather hear that news than get radio silence. And the same thing with...
Or hear from somebody else if it's
exactly
coming from a certain source.
Yes. I mean, if you feel that if you have a trusted advisor of any kind, you want to hear directly from them something that is going to affect your business. So even if the news is bad, if you say to somebody, okay, this is where we're at, but this is what we're going to do to fix it or address it, or however you're going to move forward with that, you know that the next time you're working with them, you have that confidence that they're going to be the right business partner for you.
Right.
And the same thing with lack of responsiveness. I mean, we found email these days is very, very hit or miss. I'm finding a lot of emails go into spam. Some emails I'm never getting at all. And so if you know that somebody always responds to you and you don't get a response from them, you give them the benefit of the doubt. But if people are not necessarily so good about responding to you, then you just feel like you're being ignored. And again, that's that sense of, are you being prioritized by your business partner, or are you just another thing on their list? And we all, as I said before, we're all very busy. Everybody's got a lot to do. But when someone makes you feel like you're the number one item on their list, even if you're not, it has a really big impact on the level of business that you're doing with them. When you feel like you're very important to someone, they're going to give you more business and want to continue doing business with you because you feel that sense of loyalty to them.
That's a really good point. So this feeling of I'm number one, I'm a priority. I'll never forget when I owned my agency. I feel like it's another life. For years, we had JVC as a client. So we were on the professional broadcast side. And the head of communications at JVC would always say, "Am I your only client?" And of course, we had a lot of clients, but it's that notion of you make somebody feel like they're that special. That company stayed with us for 9 years. Wow. And when you have a marketing communications firm, turnover is usually about every 3 years where the agency is up for review. So your point is well taken. The other thing you said about hearing the news and being direct and letting somebody know the negative, I can't tell you how many reputation issues and crises could be avoided if, right, people were more forthright with bad news and customers don't have to hear it from a media outlet or another partner or another customer rather than the company that they're working with. That's really important. What are some of the ways, you know, you did mention email, which can be kind of like a black hole. Are there other ways that your members are connected or communications channels that you provide them?
Yes, we encourage everyone to use as many communications channels as exist. We have been exploring Slack the last few months, which is very exciting for us. Adoption of new technologies among lawyers can be a bit slow. So,
you know, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, wow, you guys are kind of up on the times. It's pretty good for lawyers.
Yep. We have one firm, our firm in Abu Dhabi, is they have pretty much replaced email entirely with Slack. So
I'm impressed.
They're like our poster child for using Slack. We have a lot of them that use Facebook, and I love to see the sort of social relationships that develop among them on Facebook is really wonderful to see because that really cements the business relationships.
Sure. Is that private group on Facebook that you provide?
We do have a private group on Facebook, but they actually have their own individual connections on Facebook, which I'm friends with a lot of them on Facebook too. So I get to see those relationships separately.
Make you feel really good.
It does. Our thing has always been as an organization, our tagline is where lawyers become friends. And so to see those relationships develop beyond simply business relationships into these friendships that really underlie the business relationships and build that level of trust has been something that's just, it means a lot to me personally and has been really wonderful for us. But so we use all of the social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, pretty much whatever we can use. Our lawyers will text each other, WhatsApp.
Lawyers on social media.
it's been a long journey. We had about, I think, 10
I kind of figured that. I knew somewhere you're going to say that.
Yeah, 10 or 11 years ago, we started with LinkedIn, and I had our chairman at the time interrupted me as I was giving a presentation on it and said, "Nobody cares about what you're talking about," and wrap it up. And, you know, now we have a majority of them are on there. So it's been a long journey to get them using social media, but they're on there.
That is really good to know. I want to pivot a little bit because you are a woman working in a field, the legal area. I'm not sure what the ratio of the board is, but tell me a little bit about, or tell the listeners about being a woman and doing what you do.
It's challenging some days. It's actually interesting working internationally because I find that it is more of a challenge in the U.S. than it is outside of the U.S.
I would never have expected you to say that.
Actually. A lot of people say that. Yeah, diversity is a way bigger issue in the U.S. I think there are other unique issues for women outside of the states that are addressed differently. Yeah. But in terms of representation, we have much greater representation of women in Europe and in Asia than we do here in the States. And they don't seem to need diversity initiatives the way we do. They have other types of diversity issues that we also struggle with in the U.S., but it's very interesting. So we have our own women's group within the ILN, which has been a passion project of mine for the last few years. And we just had our greatest representation of delegates at a conference, which was 30%.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. We'd like to be a little bit closer to 50%, but we're getting there. But it's been challenging. You know, I faced some interesting challenges the last few years. I'm being promoted to executive director at the beginning of next year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So when your dad retires,
yes,
you're taking his position.
I am. I am. Yeah. And there was a little pushback the majority of people have been very accepting and supportive. But there were a few people that felt that maybe I wouldn't be able to handle the sales piece, that have a different view of my leadership style, which tends to be more consensus building, I would think, than or authoritative. So, you know, it's interesting. They have, you know, different opinions of women than men. And some of that is a generational thing. You know, a lot of the younger lawyers around my age and slightly older tend to be more supportive and are very pro women, pro diversity. So, you know, we're aging out as people retire.
Very cool. So do you think it's just a matter of, is it proving yourself in a way that you could handle the money piece? Is it that consistency? What do you think, you know, I'm sure people who take the time to get to know you see that you will make an excellent executive director. But was there anything that sort of stands out?
Yeah, I think some of it is proving it. I think I have found over time that there are some people that will never be convinced. And it's hard to say. Sometimes you think, okay, is this because I'm my father's daughter?
Right.
Maybe it's an age issue also. So you never know where that line lies as to where their prejudices may be. Some of it is that I just need to get into the role and they'll see where it is. And some of it is, you know, it could be an optics thing. Am I not doing a good enough job of promoting myself? And I've been reading some articles recently that are very interesting about how women tend to not do a very good job of self-promotion. And I am not very good at that myself. I admit that freely. However, when women do promote themselves, there is a different reception of that promotion than when men promote themselves.
It's interesting.
So there's also that sort of catch-22 where you want to feel like you can promote yourself, but when you do, you're maybe not going to be received in the same way that a man would be in the same position. So it's challenging for sure. I would say that, you know, a few people feel that once I was named to being my dad's successor, that I really did sort of step into the role. And I have done a lot of things in line with trying to show them that I'm ready to be in that position, even though I have done the role pretty much for, I'd say,
right.
The last
time. And you learn from the greatest teacher.
Right. And as I've pointed out to several people, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's still going to be my dad. I have him around for institutional knowledge. We're keeping him on as a consultant for another 3 years afterwards. So,
and that's, you know, such a win-win for
it is.
Any way you look at it.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's great for us, but it's really funny. You know, we had a retirement party for him, in June at our annual conference, and some of the things that people ascribed to him which, I mean, there is a very long list of successes and accolades that he very, very well deserves. But some of the things that he ascribed to him are actually projects that I pioneered. And so it was interesting to see. And I can't jump up and down and say, actually, that was me. But, you know, it's quite interesting to see people's opinions.
That's amazing. So, Lindsay, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to shift our focus over to the sponsor of today's episode. And our sponsor is Stephanie D'Alfonso. And she is an anxiety expert and coach. Her book is Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom, How to Build Resilience and Overcome Anxiety. So I thought it would kind of be cool if I asked you maybe a tip or something that you do to reduce your overwhelm. And then I'll share a couple of my favorite tips or techniques from Stephanie's book.
Excellent. I am a runner. So anytime I feel anxious, I usually go for a run. I'm a marathon runner, and that helps me tremendously.
Excellent. Okay, so that is in Stephanie's book. It's under exercise, which is a really good technique. She has 35 techniques in the book, and two of them that I really like. One is strike a pose. So I find myself doing that a lot, that power pose. Now, if you're listening on iTunes, you can't see me striking a pose. Sometimes you'll see me in pictures like this, but I do that a lot. And it's because when you stretch your body, something is triggered and you're actually lowering cortisol levels. That stress is kind of melting away. So striking a pose, I mean, think of yoga and how relaxing that is. That's one technique. Another is having gratitude. When you have gratitude and you're thankful, it's all about neuroscience, and it triggers something in the brain. It's almost like the happy hormone comes out. It's the dopamine. And when you can keep having gratitude and you have more dopamine, well, guess what? That's a happy loop. So, two things for me: striking a pose, having gratitude. They're in the book. And I just want to thank Stephanie D'Alfonso for being our sponsor and for writing Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom. Okay, let's dive back into our discussion. So we were talking about you as a woman in your profession, some of the challenges. You had mentioned, I thought it was really interesting, the self-promotion, how it's difficult sometimes for women to self-promote. But when they do, and I think we all should, it's seen in different ways. And I'm just wondering, in the articles that you read, was the self-promotion, does that come across as almost showy, or is it more like an aggressive way to present yourself? What is it that was being pointed out so that other women listeners can understand?
Yeah, I think that was really how it was seen. So men were seen more as, you know, go-getters, and they were, you know, very ambitious, whereas women were seen more as showy and maybe bragging a little bit too much. The characteristics that were associated with the promotion were much more negative when it came to women versus men in the same situations. So similar to, I think, some of the tests they've run where they've given the same resume to job seekers or people who are putting out jobs, but put a man's name on one and a woman's name on another and had different reactions to the same exact resume.
Yeah, I find this so interesting. There are so many differences. You know, I hear these studies, and it just, I say to women, keep doing what you're doing. All of this self-promotion, the fact that the one thing that always stands out in my mind is when men and women apply or don't apply for a job because women feel like they don't have the qualifications. Like if it's 60%, they know they won't go for something where men will absolutely go for it. I just think that the more women who are role models, such as yourself, who now becoming an executive director of the largest legal network, you can help others to understand the right steps to get there. And I think that's going to put more women in leadership positions. So kudos to you. It's really good. What have you learned? So moving through this whole process, this is the question that I ask, and feel free to share the big aha moment. I learned a really important lesson, or the, uh-oh, gosh, I wish I didn't do that moment, but I still learned a valuable lesson.
I mean, I've learned so many things along the way. The main thing I would say that I've learned is that you really need a very good support network. And of women, for me, it has been of women. When I was growing up, I was always sort of one of the boys. I just found that they were not as catty, I would say, and much more fun to be around. But once I became an adult, and it took me a long time to develop a really good supportive group of women, but once I found them, it was a real game changer. And women from various levels of professionalism, different industries, not all within the legal industry.
But yeah, a broad mix. That's really
good for different exactly. And that's been hugely important. People that and women who really want the best for me. So they're not afraid to tell me when I'm going to screw something up or to give me honest, direct feedback. And I can go to them with pretty much any question or problem I'm having, things that, you know, I just need a little bit of brainstorming or feedback on. And they're going to be very direct and honest with me. And that's been huge for me. You know, if I'm not having a great day, I can go to them and I can vent and they'll boost me up. And if I'm, you know, having a great day, they're also right there to celebrate with me. And that's been, as I said before, a huge game changer. I cannot recommend it enough. And I've been very, very fortunate to find that. And I know that it can be tough for some women to find those types of women. And All I can say to you is keep looking. You will find your tribe. But it's essential that you find them.
Yeah, I mean, finding your tribe, and it sounds like you're all mentors and mentees together learning, which is really important. Finding your tribe, was there ever a time where you were gravitating toward a group of women or someone, and then you realize that maybe this isn't the right person? You know, does that happen often?
Yes, there have been a couple of people, and over the last few years, I've realized, you know, that I sort of dodged a bullet by ending those relationships being friends with them. That, you know, I had been close to at one time, and it turned out that it wasn't the right friendship for me. They weren't the right kind of support. And it's, you know, it's fine. Some of that, you go through a grieving process when you lose a friend, even if you learn that it is hard. And I think even when you know it was the right decision, it's still a grieving process. So understanding that those feelings are okay and they're normal is totally fine. But, you know, it's having those other friends there to know that it's, you don't need a certain number of friends. You don't need a certain type of friend. Well, you do need a certain type of friend, but that supportive friends are better than,
yes,
you know,
trustworthy friends.
Yes, exactly.
Genuine, but, authentic,
yeah, exactly.
With integrity.
Yes. Those kinds of friends are the kind that you want.
They're priceless.
Exactly. I think you come to learn who those people are. And it can be hard because it's not, you can't often tell who those people are right off the bat. Sometimes you know, and sometimes you click right away. And sometimes you think you know somebody very well, and then you learn quickly or not so quickly that they're not trustworthy. They don't have integrity. And you need to move away from them. And it is okay to make those decisions. Some of that, I think, comes with experience and age, I will say. As you grow up a little bit, you learn that it's okay to walk away from a friendship. It's okay to walk away from a bad relationship. That's fine. But, you know,
People have to realize over the years, you're different when you're in your 20s and then in your 30s and 40s and 50s. So that's why, you know, people grow apart, and that's okay. You know, you can't force something to stay a certain way.
Exactly. And your needs change. I mean,
yes.
Hopefully your career is changing a little bit. You may have a family and, you know, you have a certain amount of time because you have young children and then your children grow up. All of those things are going to be factors in what you do and what your needs are and who your friends are.
Right. So we've talked a lot about your career, being a woman executive, that important network that you've built. What about your free personal time? Is there anything, any passion, hobby? What do you do when you don't have your global relationship management hat on?
I've got a couple of things. I'd say my two big ones are, I am a photographer in my free time, I know it's very funny. I love to take photos when I'm traveling and especially of animals. Yes.
Do you have an Instagram?
I do.
Okay.
It's Lindsay Griffiths Photography is my Instagram for my photos. And I am hopefully going to get my act together and actually sell some pictures at some point.
That's wonderful. I'm a sucker for animals.
I've got some pretty good ones on there. I'm a sucker for animals too. I've got some good ones on there. And I really enjoy, I do some crochet hats and for cancer patients and at the moment in the state of New Jersey.
That's awesome.
That's my
home state, New Jersey.
Oh, nice. That's right. That's right.
Jersey's in the house.
That's right. Yeah. So my cousin, unfortunately I don't remember him, but when I was quite young, was diagnosed at the age of 3.5 with leukemia.
Ooh,
and
so
passed
sad.
Away. When he was 5, right? So cancer was quite, growing up, cancer research and supporting families with cancer has always been very important to my family. So, and I've known quite a few people who have had cancer and families and friends. So I like to do whatever I can. And one of those things is hats for people currently going through chemotherapy.
What a beautiful way to give back. And to support a really important cause.
Yeah. Keeps me busy.
I'm sure it does. Do you have a website or do you do this so that people know about, you know, your hobby, or is it just the happenstance and who you meet and you share? And
yeah, I normally don't talk that much about it. Just a few people know. I do it when I have some free time. I can usually do a hat in an evening. It doesn't take me too long. And then there's a woman locally in the Jersey Shore area that I send a box to every periodically. Sweet. Yeah.
Terrific. And is crocheting hard? Is that something that took you a long time to figure it out, or you just, bam, you got it?
I feel like I've always known how to crochet. My grandmother taught me when I was very young. And so I have pretty much always crocheted. So she's passed away a few years ago now, but in her much older years, she lost her sight and she couldn't do it anymore. So, but it was something we always did together. And she was very heavily involved in cancer research as well. So I always think of my grandma when I crochet.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you.
That's really nice. So Lindsay, you know, what sort of keeps you going every day? Motivated, your inspiration? I mean, you have a busy, I'm sure, hectic position, and yet you still find time to do the crocheting and your photography. What is it that gets you up every morning?
Well, if I'm really being totally frank with you, it's a fear of failure.
And that your dad's still around.
Yes, and a very serious perfectionism tendency, but I'm working on that.
There are some techniques in this book.
Yes. I was thinking I would pick that up since I have very serious anxiety. Seriously, I also, you know, my lawyers are great, and I really love the idea of figuring out how.
I'm glad that's on tape.
Don't tell them.
Mine are great, because I don't know if I've heard that statement so often, but okay.
Depends on who you're talking. No, most of my lawyers are great. Maybe
fantastic.
There's one or two. No, they're really great people. But I love the idea of the challenge of figuring out how to better help them collaborate and layer those relationships. And that's really my mandate for the next however long I'm doing this, is to figure out how to do that. And I really am motivated by that. But also, I have four nieces who range in age from 10 to 1. And they really, you know, being a role model for them and figuring out how to, you know, be positive and strong and all of those things. You know, once the 10-year-old, as soon as she was born, pretty much, I was like, how can I be a better person for her? That's very, very important to me.
That's awesome. And you get to watch and see them grow and learn and develop. Right?
It's amazing. They're amazing kids, just amazing kids. I'm very lucky.
You are. I mean, that's a blessing, truly.
Yeah.
And you will be an excellent role model. I wonder if any of them will follow your path.
I know.
Even executives like Aunt Lindsay.
Yeah, I know. The oldest one is already asking me when she can travel with me. So, although she doesn't even want to sleep over very much, so I don't think she'd really want to go away with me. So,
right, one step at a time.
That's what I told her. Another few years.
Yes. You know, while we're on the topic of getting motivated and sort of what keeps you going, where does social media fit in? Because when I think of social media, I do think about keeping in touch and relationships. Is it for relationships or is it a distraction? How are you feeling about social media?
It's interesting because I was a very early adopter of social media, and Twitter for me was the place where I met a lot of my legal marketing colleagues at that time. I do less marketing now than I used to. And that it used to be more about engaging than it is now, I feel like. And same for some other forms of social media. For me, I think it can really be about relationships if you're careful. Mm-hmm. So as I think if you use it very strategically, it can be a good tool. And things I would suggest for that are if it's very good if you have a blog. So if you're blogging and you use your blogs to ask questions and you post those questions when you share your posts, or even if you're just sharing questions and you engage with the people that answer them. If you wanted to meet somebody that's in your industry and you reference their work in your blog post, that's also really helpful. And then you can send them a LinkedIn invitation, share your post with them, and use that to connect offline. I find that most of my social media use these days tends to be less public. So I use Instagram a ton. It's probably my favorite social media tool, but I do a lot of sort of Facebook Messenger to keep in touch with people I already know. And I use LinkedIn quite a lot. So professionally. Yeah.
How many hours do you think you spend a day on social media? Just curious, even if it fits in with the realm of your work too.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe two at the most. I used to use it much more than I do now. We use it quite a lot for business purposes, but I have somebody else that's managing our social media.
Right. I've been doing a lot of research with millennials and their communication, and a big focus on social media. And when I ask that question, they usually say 5-6 hours a day. And somehow I feel like I bet if you added in YouTube, yeah, it would be more. I bet if you added in some Slack, it would be more. So I'm always curious to find out how much time professionals spend on social media. What about educating yourself? Staying on top of your game? I'm sure it's really important for what you do. How do you kind of keep up with the trends?
It is, and it's challenging. I try to go to at least one industry conference a year. I've been involved with the Corporate Legal Operations Consortium for the last couple of years, which has great programming. I usually go to their London conference, which is early on in the year, and then reading as much as I can, both within and outside of the industry. I feel like we tend to be very siloed and insular as an industry, the legal industry. So I like to look at what other industries are doing to try and get additional ideas. and see what other people are doing, but also, you know, see who some of the top minds are within legal and read their blogs and articles to make sure that I know sort of what the trends are and what everybody's talking about. Because although the legal industry didn't change for a long time, we have been in a very big period of change for about 10 years.
Right. I like that you said that you look at other industries. I think sometimes professionals get trapped in, let me just look at the competition around me. And I mean, that's good. You always want to know your direct competition, but looking outside and different perspectives and the way that companies or organizations are doing things can really, really help, even if it's indirect to you. So Lindsay, I can't even believe that we're at the question that wraps up with advice, right? Time flies by. What advice would you give to Women Worldwide listeners about building, maintaining, and keeping those really important bonds in a relationship?
I would say just, you know, as I said to start out with, consistency, you know, make sure that the people that you want to be close to, you are communicating with on a regular basis. Don't be afraid to reach out. We have so many forms of communication these days that I think everybody knows there's a way to stay in touch. So if you don't stay in touch, people assume that you're not a priority for them. So it's that's what I found and that's what I felt. So if someone says, oh, I really miss you, but they're not reaching out to me on Facebook, on, you know, texting, however it's possible to reach out, then I don't necessarily believe them. Oh. So if you do want to have a relationship with someone, whether it's a friendship or a business relationship, all you need to do is find a way to reach out to them. You can send them an article or just a message to ask how they're doing. There's, you know, a million different ways to do it these days. So just that consistency. And with the amount of scheduling tools we also have these days, you can program it right into your calendar to do it. And I've done that myself, you know, reach out to this person, follow up with these people, because we are awfully busy, all of us. So that's one way to build it into your schedule as well.
Excellent. Right. Reach out, show you care, and show that they're a priority. Well, last question, Lindsay, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Everywhere. My blog is Zen and the Art of Legal Networking. So zenlegalnetworking.com. I am on LinkedIn, Twitter at Lindsay Griffith without the S, back in the early days when they didn't have that. And, Instagram, as I said before, Lindsay Griffith Photography or Linzel Cakes is my other handle where I talk about running. And email, is lindsaygriffiths@island.com.
Awesome. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, relationships, best practices, and how to keep your contacts, your friends top of mind as a priority. Really appreciate your time and all of your advice. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Keep the feedback coming. We love hearing from you. Give us a shout out on Twitter, on Facebook. Now you can go to womenworldwideshow.com and sign up for our updates. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. We just love hearing from you. So friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.